Okay, so here's your homework. Go read the whole passage. I only read just a short part of it right now. So it's at the end of Luke's gospel. It's what is it? Luke 24. I only kind of read the end. But there's a lot more of the story that leads up to it. So briefly, I'll just tell you briefly. Two people, disciples of Jesus, have been walking along the road, away from Jerusalem, going to Emmaus, a village 7 miles away. I think last year that I mentioned that I thought that they were a married couple, but that doesn't matter so much for the point I want to make just now. So they were leaving, though, because they had given up hope in Jesus. They had joined this group. They had so much hope that he was the Messiah, and then it was all smashed when he was killed. Now, of course, Jesus has been raised, but they don't know that yet. So they've just given up. They're just leaving, and they're leaving all their friends behind. So Jesus walks along with them. He talks to them. They talk about the Christ, the Savior, that the Israelites were waiting for. They talked about the prophets. They talked about Jesus. And eventually, when they get to Emmaus, Jesus eats with them. And at that point, they realize who he is. And they're amazed that he's alive. And Jesus disappears, and the two of them go back to Jerusalem to see the other followers, to see their friends. 7 miles back to Jerusalem now. And they get back, and then first Simon has a similar story to tell. Jesus appeared to him also, like at the same time. And then the two of them tell what they had experienced, and then Jesus shows up. And they think he's a ghost. And he says, I'm not a ghost, but I have a body. I'm resurrected. I'm not just dead. Without a body. And they sit and he eats, because ghosts don't eat, so that's proof. So, why is it important that Jesus had to chase these two disciples down who were leaving? What's the symbolic value of this whole story? Well, the two of them were leaving. Their backs were turned on everybody who was in Jerusalem, on Jerusalem itself. They were going in the wrong direction. They were separated from the rest of the group. And all of this puts them in a bad place. So Jesus has to chase them down. I mean, he goes not to bludgeon them over the head or to order them back, you know, because of his authority or something. That's not what he does. He goes to explain to them and to teach them, to show them what he had missed, what they had missed and what they hadn't completely understood. And he goes to feed them. Jesus has to reunite this scattered group. He had taken so much time and put so much hard work into putting this group together in the first place, and not just the 12 apostles, but all the disciples, everybody who had become followers of him. And then they're all separated at the crucifixion. And if they're separated, then this group dissolves. They will never be able to get where they ought to be going. The church is often described as a ship. And it makes sense. Peter and many of the apostles were fishermen and with their boats, you know. The church is described as a ship, like Noah's Ark. It saves the people who get into it. And it's steered by the apostles, and it's guided by Christ, and it's guided by the Holy Spirit. If you want to get to the same place the ship is going, well, then get on board. That makes sense. But if crew members were to jump off, or if crew members were to take a lifeboat or swim off in another direction, well, we're not going to all get to the same place. First, we're missing crew. Second, some of them are completely going the wrong direction. That's a big problem. Jesus has to steer them all back together into Jerusalem, into, at this point, in the upper room in Jerusalem where they had the Last Supper. How is it, though, that Jesus can appear to all of these disparate people? They're all over the place. And yet he's appearing to them at the same time. Well, he had said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So even though these two disciples are leaving for Emmaus, they're still discussing Jesus. They're still gathered together in his name, even if it's deteriorating, even if their hope is falling apart, even if their relationship with the other disciples is starting to deteriorate. But they were still gathered in his name. And when even just a couple of people come together to pray, Jesus is there. Jesus is there with them, and he can steer them right. Because at that moment in prayer, they're open to it. And so Jesus does. He explains, he feeds them, and he steers them back. And he'll always, especially if there's this damage happening of being separated from the group, he'll always steer them back to the larger group. He needs them all to be together because there's strength in numbers. I can imagine him saying, if you're not together, you're gonna lose your strength. You're gonna lose your direction. This is where I'm feeding you. I mean, I know that this is why the church makes such a big deal about Sunday Mass as an obligation. You gotta go to confession if you miss it, you know. But it's for this reason that we get rusty. Our hope gets rusty if we're not together with each other. Our resolve gets. We become more apathetic. We start to not care if we haven't gotten together and listened to Jesus' words and allowed him to steer us and allowed him to feed us. Because it's only through Jesus' sharing of his own strength with his disciples here, by feeding them with the Eucharist, that the disciples could go out and do what they did, which includes reading the Acts of the Apostles as we do every Easter. All this crazy suffering, they're thrown in prison, they're beaten up, and they do it all with a smile on their faces. There's no way that they could have done this cheerfully or without having had each other and without having had the Eucharist. All sorts of horrible persecutions. I mean, all but one of the 12 apostles gets martyred, you know. So this is why the church isn't just a club of people who like being together, you know. And there's lots of clubs in the world made of people who like to be together and who like to work on particular projects and stuff. And they're great, and I belong to a couple of them. Community that Jesus has made, the church, is different. This group is founded by Jesus for a mission that extends beyond the visible universe. We may not understand the mission, and that's a problem. Because what's the mission? Is it fundraising? No. Well, hardly. It's soul raising. It's to raise the dead, including the living who are dead inside. That's Jesus' mission, okay? To be concerned more with life than with death. To be more concerned with truth than with falsehood. To be more concerned with beauty than with hideousness. To be more concerned with good than evil. And we may not all like each other in the group. There are cardinals in the church who don't like each other in the group. But that's no reason to jump ship or to not get together on Sunday. We've got to be on the same crew. We've got to be on the same ship. We've gathered together in the name of Jesus, not in anybody else's name, not because of any one particular person aside from Jesus. Even when we have a funeral, we gather together, yet for the sake of the person who's died, but we gather together in the name of Jesus. We have gathered together, we have gotten on board this ship for our own safety, for our own salvation, and for the salvation of all. And this is why the church isn't an exclusive group. All are welcome to jump aboard this ship with us.